great to be here. I'm really excited. I'm from Kaiser Permanente. A quick show of hands. I'm Jean Noodleman, and I have nothing to disclose. Maybe I don't even I can't even forward myself to have nothing to disclose. There we go. In this context. All right. How many of you, quick show of hands, I'm based in Northern California, which is the founding place of Kaiser Permanente, and I've been there for a couple of decades now, actually, working with the organization. Before that, worked with public health departments in the Bay Area. So I think everyone knows everything about Kaiser. Who here lives nearby or has experienced Kaiser Permanente directly? That's the thing. Okay, thank you. That's really helpful to know. So Kaiser Permanente is an integrated, not-for-profit healthcare delivery organization. We can talk more about that later. It is was founded in 1945, really as a partnership between Henry J. Kaiser, who was a large industrialist, and he built the Liberty ships that helped win the war. And there's this great, if you ever come to Northern California, there's an amazing exhibit all about Henry J. Kaiser in Richmond, which his work transformed the whole economy of that area and the culture. It's growing. It is in 8 regions right now, 8 states throughout the country, and in D.C. We serve over 10 million members, and we have physician groups with whom we contract. The health plan hospital and the physician groups are one entity that work together. We've got 38 hospitals and over 600 medical offices. And what's important, I think, is that our mission really has 2 components. We are here to provide high-quality, affordable healthcare services and to improve the health of our members and the communities we serve. So in that context, I don't know, we're in a public health place, so I thought you guys would like this. We really do recognize increasingly, and I am in the community benefit arm of the organization, so some physicians may or may not entirely resonate with this image. We probably recognize it from McGinnis and Fogey, and it talks about what creates health. And what we believe, and evidence shows, is that although I'm in a healthcare delivery organization, medical care is the smallest cog in this particular gear structure. And family history and genetics is really important to what creates health. But really, the environment, we quibble about the percentages here, but the environment and actions that people take based upon the environment in which they live are the largest determinants of health for individuals, for populations, and for communities. And okay, now this flying saucer is a little crazy, but if you believe that, then what we've been doing increasingly, and I work with Dr. Ray Baxter, who at one point was a health director in the city and county of San Francisco and led the hospital HHC in New York City, and we're really trying to say that we have the ability in Kaiser Permanente to not just focus on individuals, but also the places in which they live and society. And actually, we've got the ability to leverage multiple resources across a really large and complicated entity. And so this tries to show that everything from the clinical prevention to our research and technology to what we do in terms of our purchasing practices has a huge impact. So it's a very exciting field, and we're really calling this, for us anyway, total health impact. What might you say does this have to do with data? Well, I wanted to just quickly sketch the context in which I operate to show you that the way in which we approach data, we're a very data-driven organization internally, and we have access to astounding data for our own members. But we really, I personally have been very fortunate to have been involved with the support of two particular examples I wanted to share with you. And one is CHIS. Again, quick show of hands. Do people here have ever heard of CHIS? Okay, great. Well, it is the largest state health information survey, I believe the oldest as well, created, and also wanted to talk a little bit about our own website, chna.org/KP, and the national website that we've been able to create. So a little bit about CHIS, and I realized that I wanted to say a little more than I have yet. CHIS was created back in 2001 by a real public health visionary who's no longer with us, Dr. Rick Brown, at the UCLA Center for Health Policy, and it's now led by an amazing leader, Dr. Ninez Ponce, and I've been very fortunate to work with both of them. It's at the county level is the thing about CHIS, but it's a random digit dial telephone survey, historically landline. It takes 45 minutes. So you can imagine, they have a lot of challenges with getting really good data. So they're moving to try cell phone surveys as well. It does reach about 20,000 Californians, both teens and adults, every year. It is administered in a tremendous array of different languages, you can see, which is befitting the state of California. And it's really used to get timely information about health status, about health behaviors, about health coverage, and about access to care. And it's being seen as a very important tool in California as we move into ACA implementation as well. We have used CHIS, so I'll toggle back and forth between some of my roles. I'm accountable for conducting the community health needs assessments, which are required at both the state and the national level for public hospitals, or rather for nonprofit hospitals, excuse me. And so in California, we're really fortunate. We don't just have BRFIS, we have CHIS. But CHIS is at a county level, and where needs and assets live, where communities live, are sub-county almost exclusively. And so we've always been really frustrated, and we've said, you know, and unless counties could pay to oversample, which is really pretty expensive, CHIS had really limited abilities. And so although they were great, there was some frustration. So a couple of years ago, they decided to try to create a new resource, which they have. And I'm realizing I feel very remiss that I did not provide the websites, and I will do that later. But if you look at Ask CHISC Neighborhood Edition, NE, at ucla.edu, you can see a new resource, which I'm really excited about, that we have helped fund along with the California Wellness Foundation. And it uses small area estimation. And it covers currently a subset of their topics, and it's got 22 indicators and 9 demographic indicators topics. And it's been expanded, again, funded by another philanthropy. They're really excited by this. I think it's really, it's personally very attractively done. It's really interactive. And it's the first glimpse that we have about trying to get the data at a more granular level. So I think it's important to realize that CHIS is not a public good, you know, even though you can imagine I think it should be, but it has historically been funded by a network of public agencies and private organizations, and we're all concerned with improving the health status in California. So you can see that they've had funders from the state of California, mental health, public health. They've been funded by the Fire Exchange. Cover California is really interested in understanding, again, what's happening with people after the ACA implementation. We in Kaiser Permanente have been a long-standing funder. The California Endowment has been a very important funder, as has First Five California. This is just a little bit about Ask CHIS. It's really widely used. We've also supported the ability to be able to train organizations on how to get access to CHIS and Ask CHIS Neighborhood. Ask CHIS is their interactive query system, basically. And they've also created health profiles, which are very, very widely used. So to segue, okay, so that's one. We have used, in California and in Kaiser Permanente, after ACA created a requirement that all nonprofit hospitals conduct community health needs assessments, based on our experience having done this in California since the mid-90s, we thought it would make a lot of sense. Instead of having each of our regions and each of our 38 facilities run around and try to gather as much material as they could and spend all this time fighting about indicators, which is my experience about what happens when you start to work with other folks, we thought, okay, let's just create. Things have changed. We can create our own data platform using publicly available data for demographics and for other information that I'll tell you about. And so we started to work with a really great organization at the University of Missouri, CARES. I should tell you what the acronym is, but I'm not going to. Well, the Center for Applied Research and Environmental Systems, and they have a long history of doing mapping and data visualization work, excuse me, at the University of Missouri. So back in 2013, we created this free, available data platform to support our own people in our facilities who work in collaboration with other hospitals and health departments to be able to look at what the data shows them, do data visualization, maps, and create reports. And basically, the purpose of this is so we don't have to spend so much time and energy in just gathering and making sense of the data, but are able to spend more time just to Brian's point, what's important about the data, it is a little easy to get fetishistic about it, actually, but what's important is to move from the data and then combine it with what you're hearing from the voice of the people, which is the primary data, and come up with an understanding about what are the true needs and the resources of the community so that you can do something about it. Something I like about our approach to chna.org/KP is that we've also created the capacity to focus on what we as public health people know are really important. And so there's something called a vulnerable population or key drivers indicator, which focuses on FPL, on poverty, and on educational attainment. And you can hone in and then look at particular health status outcomes within particular neighborhoods. We've organized the indicators using the MATCH model created by the University of Wisconsin and the really important work that they're doing with the county health rankings. And we started to think, well, what's the best way to describe population health? And we thought they've done a pretty good job. And they're looking at health outcomes. They're looking then at other indicators based upon social and economic environment, the physical environment, clinical care, et cetera. So we did it the last cycle, and it was pretty good, although candidly a little teeny bit clunky because we just threw it together. And we are now in the second cycle that's required by ACA. So all of our hospitals are doing another needs assessment now. It's unlike public health, it's every 3 years, which you could say perhaps should be made to be the same cycle as public health departments. There are reports, there are dials, there are ways to look at particular unique geographies. This is just, again, a little snapshot of it. And then what we've tried to do is we looked in across our 38 hospitals. These were really the most commonly identified needs: access to care, healthy eating, active living, mental and behavioral health, violence prevention. And we have added additional indicators to look at other non-health status issues and social economic determinants of health, and also climate and health. And there's a new capacity here to go through calculations, basically, that will more easily identify, going from a lot of indicators that map to particular health needs, those that are above and below the benchmarks. So what I think is important about this, and in both cases, what we're trying to do, and it sounds, again, very similar to Brian, is we're trying to create data that is timely, that's validated. We get requests from public health departments or for people doing surveys. Can they load their data up there? It's a really good request. It's a really interesting question. If the data is not consistently available over time, we all know that does introduce some challenges, and so we're not yet able to accommodate that. We think it's very important that the data that we make available to people be understandable, be user-friendly, be dynamic, and most of all, and perhaps I should have put this up on top, we think it should be free. We think there should be no cost to people being able to use the data that is supported actually by the government in large account. And then why do we do this? So we do have a philanthropic approach, but as you heard, I'm part of a healthcare delivery organization. It's where my family and I get our care. So we think we really have a deep commitment to using the data that describes the health of populations to understand where there are needs and what we can do to make a difference. And we think it's very important that we partner with these organizations, that we not just contract with them and say, yeah, give us a platform and we'll use it. We are deeply engaged using experts from our organization to identify the kind of indicators that we think are important and to try to make sense of them and to try to improve the systems. In each case, they really, they've changed and grown over the years. And I will say the technology is very exciting and we have really a long way to go. And our vision is that by doing this and working in collaboration with others, to go back to that flying saucer I showed you, we really will better be able to mobilize resources to create total health in our communities. Thank you so much.